I would like to ask you tonight, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Please turn in your Bibles. There's a rather lengthy scripture reading. I want to read verses 1 through 14 from Ezekiel chapter 37. This morning we tried to look at the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, where the Word of God talks about multitudes in the valley of decision. And then it says, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Tonight, the subject that's on my heart is the valley of dry bones. And I believe that if God's people remain in the valley of decision, that God will come and will cut them off, and then they will become the valley of dry bones. I believe the valley of dry bones, as you look at the Word of God in Ezekiel chapter 37, I know that there are those who believe that this whole passage of Scripture is talking about God coming to His people while they are dead in trespasses and sins, and they view the valley of dry bones as being a picture of God coming to His people and quickening them while they're dead in trespasses and sins, and making them alive spiritually. However, I believe that this chapter, at least the Valley of Dry Bones, I believe that this Valley of Dry Bones is not a picture of the new birth or regeneration, but rather it's a picture of revival and renewing of God's people who had once been with God and known the Lord. And I hope that you'll see that as we try to study from God's holy word tonight. Before we begin to try to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to feel Your presence with us. And we pray that as we begin to study Thy holy word, that Thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us into all truth, that Thou would help us, that we might hear and understand, believe and obey Thy holy word. Lord, we thank You again for every individual that's here and each family that's represented, and we beg Thy blessings upon each of them. We pray that You would help us as we've gathered together tonight, that we would be able to say from the bottom of our heart that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We thank You again for Your felt presence this morning, but we stand in the same need tonight that we always have. When we come to Thy house, we know that we cannot worship Thee, we cannot sing, and we cannot study Thy word, we can't pray without the felt presence of Thy Spirit. We ask You to help us now and lift us up, plant our feet on heaven's table land, bless us to hear the word of God, and bless us to respond to it. Again, we beg Thy blessings upon all those who stand in great need this night. We pray that You would bless all those who are sick and afflicted, the aged and the infirmed, bless those on their deathbeds, bless those who, the families of those who are sick, give them the strength and grace they need as they try to take care of their loved ones. And Lord, You know the needs of each person here and each family. There are those with special burdens and problems, and You know their needs, and You alone are able to deliver and to help them in their problems. And we pray that if it could be in keeping with Thy holy will, that You would perform miracles and You would deliver and release those that are having great trouble. Help them and help us to know how to help them. Again, we beg Thy blessings upon our leaders, all those in authority over us. Bless our nation, have mercy on us, spare us if it could be in keeping with Thy holy will. Again, bless us all during this coming week. You know the needs that we have for each day, and supply those needs not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Bless us now as we try to study. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with the first verse. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's a marvelous question. There are several times in the Bible that God will ask somebody something, and there are at least two or three times where the person will say, Lord, thou knowest. And so that's the question that God is asking Ezekiel right here as he carries him and he causes him to see this vision of a valley that was full of dry bones. And God asked him, can these bones live? And then the scripture says, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Could they live? Well, only the Lord knew. Verse 4 says, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, I want you to go home tonight and just study every one of these phrases, because there's so much contained in this passage that we cannot get to. But the bodies were completely together, but then the scripture says, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You see what they've come from? They've come from being a valley full of dry bones to now, because of the mighty, miraculous work of God, they've become an exceeding great army. I want you to listen carefully now to verse 11. Verse 11 says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, and here's what Israel was saying, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, if you go back to verse 11, you find that God kind of explains this when he says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Now, I believe that there are times in the lives of God's people, after they're born of the Spirit of God, but they're not faithfully serving God. I believe that there are times that God, because of the disobedience of His children, that God will sometimes cut them off. And I believe that sometimes God's people begin to feel and recognize and realize that inwardly that their soul is nothing but full of dead men's bones, just like this valley of dry bones. Have you ever felt like, not that your body was full of dead bones, but have you ever felt like that your soul was full of nothing but death? Have you ever felt like that you were dry spiritually? Have you ever felt like that there was no life in your soul? I'm not talking about in your body now, but I'm talking about a spiritual feeling of the presence and the power of God. Have you ever felt like that you were going through, and sometimes we refer to it as going through dry seasons spiritually? I believe that in all of our lives there are times that we go through those dry seasons, but there are times that we go so far in disobedience that God will cut us off and we experience a soul death, as it were. Not talking about a physical death, but we're talking about a soul death. And the only thing that can ever change that is when the power of God comes and begins to work on us and revive us. And that's what this whole passage to me is about, is Israel being revived by the power of God. When was Israel revived? I believe that it was when Israel began to acknowledge, first of all, they had to realize their sinful condition, and they had to realize that there was something terribly wrong. You know, sometimes God's people get in a ritual and a habit of religion, and they continue to go to God's house, and they continue to go through all the motions, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Sometimes God's people don't even recognize that their soul is separated from fellowship with God. They don't recognize that they haven't been feeding on the Word of God, and they don't recognize that they haven't been drinking from the fountain of living water, and they don't realize the spiritual or soul condition that they're in. And when that happens, they may remain in that condition for a while, but eventually they will begin to recognize and realize we're in a terrible condition, and then God requires us to cry to Him. What did Israel do right here when she recognized the condition that she was in? He says, "This is my people, this is Israel." He says, then the Scripture says that they said, "Our bones are dried and our hope is lost, for we are cut off for our part." Have you ever realized that your bones were dried? I'm talking about in your soul, that you were going through an extremely dry time, a time of death, a time of not feeling the presence of the Spirit of God. Well, when you do that, when you recognize that, when you realize that you're in a condition where you're not feeling the presence and the power of God, there's one thing we all need to do, and that's to, first of all, confess that we do have a serious problem. And the second thing we need to do is we need to confess our sins, and we need to repent and turn from those sins. And then we need to cry unto the Lord and beg the Lord to revive us again. And the psalmist cried out, "Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord?" How many times in your life have you been in a dry season and you felt like your soul was perishing, and yet God came and revived you again? One of the songs that we sing says, "Surely once thy garden flourished, every plant looked gay and green, then our hearts were nourished." But then it talks about how that vineyard began to get dry. Some of you have seen gardens, some of you have seen fields that without rain, that it begins to dry and wilt, and it begins to look like there's no life there at all. And the only thing that will revive that is for God to send rain down from heaven. Likewise, when God's people are weak and weary and faint and all hope is lost and they feel like their soul is going to perish, when they cry to God and they repent and return to the Lord, can their souls live again? Can their souls live again? You see, God is under no obligation to revive us again. Our nation has turned her backs on God a number of different times, and God is under no obligation at all to revive us again. But regardless of the fact that God is under no obligation to revive us again, we need to all remember that God is long-suffering and merciful and gracious, and we need to be crying unto the Lord, "Revive us again." Because we need a spiritual revival. We need for God to breathe on us. One of the songs that we sing is, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me." You notice that even after God began to cause these bones to come together, bone to his bone, each bone going as it was where it needed to be. And then God caused the sinews or the muscles to begin to come upon those bones. And then God caused the skin to come upon that body. Did you know that even then it took the breath, it took the breathing, it took the wind to begin to revive that body. And I think this wind represents the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Why? Because my soul needs to be alive again. It needs to be living in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this valley of dry bones was like a huge grave to me. When I picture this valley of dry bones, I picture like just one huge graveyard. And I want you to look now at God's Word about God's people going down to the grave. And again, I'm not talking about literally dying. I'm not talking about literally being in the grave. But I'm talking about instead of a physical death, I'm talking about a soul death. My soul, though I'm a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, my soul can die. The Word of God says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And we need to pray that God will spare our souls and that God will help us to save the souls of others that they might not die, that they might not perish. Because if they perish, what's the question that God asked Ezekiel? Can they live again? I don't know whether they can or not. God knows. God is able, and God alone is able to revive them again once they perish. But they can live again. Go with me now, back in your Bibles, back up to Psalm 30. I want you to listen to the words of David, as David had gone through a season here where David was so far removed from God, and David had been cut off, though he was like a plant, and his soul was perished, and he was down to the grave. Now again, we're not talking about the body, we're talking about the soul. But his soul was like that valley full of dry bones. Look now at Psalm 30 beginning. Well, I'll just read verses 2 and 3. Psalm 30, verses 2 and 3. The Word of God says that David said in Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Now I want you to listen to verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my... What's the next word there? Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Though the body goes to the grave, there's also a picture in God's Word of our soul going to the grave. And my soul can go to the grave while my body is still here on this earth. And that's the experience that David was having when he says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Listen carefully to verse 5. He says, For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Does it please the Lord to revive his people? Does that please the Lord? But do God's people, is it necessary for them to first repent and cry unto the Lord and acknowledge we need His help, that without His help we will perish? I believe that our whole nation, that we need to be on our knees crying unto the Lord, because if we have any understanding, if we have spiritual understanding at all, we recognize that we're like a valley full of dry bones, and that unless God comes and revives us, that we will all remain in that valley of dry bones. So he says in verse 5, For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I thank God that in his mercy and grace, there have been many times in our lives that we've experienced those dry seasons, and we felt like that our soul was in the grave, and God has come and revived us again and lifted us up and filled us, not just with the bones and the sinews and the skin, but filled us with that breath of God. And the Holy Spirit has breathed on us and filled us with life. We need to thank God for that. Go with me to Psalm 51. David, still speaking in Psalm 51. Brethren, did David know about his soul being in the grave and in the pit? Did David know what it meant to be inside? We're going to talk in a few minutes about what Jesus talked about, men full of... You remember what he said to the scribes and Pharisees? Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you're full of what? Dead men's bones. When is it God's people are full of dead men's bones? It's when they have remained in the valley of decision, and they have not climbed Mount Zion, and they have not dwelt in Beulah land, and they have remained in that valley of decision, and then they perish in that valley, and that valley, instead of just being a group of people that are in a state of indecision, they finally become a valley full of dry bones. Can they then live again? Can they live again? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. In Psalm 51, David has sinned, and David recognizes his sinful condition. In his soul, he feels that he's full of dead men's bones. In Psalm 51, listen, beginning with the first verse, he cries unto the Lord. Have you ever seen anybody really cry to the Lord? Have you ever been there in your life where you were in such desperate need of God's help that you just stopped everything and you fell on your face and you cried and cried and cried unto the Lord? That's where we all need to be tonight, is crying unto the Lord. Crying unto the Lord. And that's what David did. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. This is Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. Listen, do you know why David was crying out for mercy? Didn't David have enough good works built up that he could just say, God, you owe me something? Hadn't David done enough good in his life that he didn't have to cry out for mercy? No, sir, brethren. Even if David had not sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite killed, David still needed the mercy of God. But David had sinned and had gone so far away from God that he could commit adultery and could commit murder, and now he was cut off because of his ungodly living. He had first remained in the valley of decision, and he had not been where he was supposed to be, and then he finally perished, and when he perished, he cried to God for mercy as his soul was starving for fellowship with God. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Let me ask you this question. How did David know that God was merciful and long-suffering and gracious? How did he know all of that? How did he know that? All right, he had experienced it. That's one thing. But he also knew the Word of God, didn't he? He knew the Word of God. There are times in our lives, brethren, that we might not be able to feel what God's Word says is true. But we just have to, by faith, know that God's Word is true. And we have to lay hold on that, and we need to cry out to God for His mercy and for His grace. Because God declares in His Word that He is merciful and gracious. He says, let the wicked man forsake his evil way and return unto the Lord. Because He will abundantly pardon. That's an amazing grace, isn't it? And now he says in Psalm 51, verse 2, after he says, have mercy upon me and blot out my transgressions, he says in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Listen, brethren, we will never cry out to the Lord like Israel did in Ezekiel 37. We will never cry out to the Lord and beg God for mercy and grace until we recognize and realize our sinful condition. I believe one of the most effective tools of Satan is to have God's people thinking about the sin of other people instead of ever acknowledging our own sin. David here was not talking about the sin of someone else. He was talking about his own sin. We all need to recognize and realize you might not have committed adultery, you might not commit murder. But listen, brethren, we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. And we need to cry out to God for His mercy and for His grace. If Jesus doesn't help us, we're gone. Can we live again? Can you dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Can you get back up on Mount Zion? is there some way? Now, see, we're past the valley of decision now. See, when you're in the valley of decision, you then have the ability and power to get out of that valley of decision and get up the mountain. We're past that point in Ezekiel 37. We're no longer in the valley of decision. We're in the valley of dry bones. We can't go forward. We can't move. We can't do anything about our condition other than cry unto God and beg Him to revive those dry bones. In verse 8, Psalm 51, verse 8, David says, Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness that the... Listen to the wording here now. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, had David literally had a broken arm or a broken leg, that's not the bones he's talking about. Many times David talks about his bowels and his heart and his bones within him and about them aching and yearning for God. He's not talking about the physical body yearning for God. He's talking about the soul. And he says, the soul, my bones are broken, the bones which thou hast broken, that they may rejoice. Verse 9, Psalm 51, verse 9, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Is that what we need to beg God to do to us? Wash me truly. Cleanse me, O God. Why? Because until God does that, there's no hope for revival. Verse 10, he says, create in me a... What did he ask him to do in verse 8? Verse 8. He wanted his bones fixed, didn't he? The bones that you've broken. Then what's he say in verse 10? Create in me a clean what? Heart. Is he talking about that little pumping organ that you have within you? Not at all. He's not talking about literal bones or a literal heart. He's talking about the bones of the soul and the heart of the soul and the muscles of the soul. He's talking about the life of the soul, not the life of the body. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need a spiritual revival. We need to have a renewed right spirit. A spirit of humility, a spirit of love, a spirit of kindness, a spirit of gentleness. And you can you have that? Well, who's it up to? God knoweth. Lord, Thou knowest. Could God have mercy on us and bless us to have a great revival? Sir, Thou knowest. It says in verse 11, cast me not away from Thy presence. Can God's people be cast away, become a cast away from the presence of God here in this world? Yes, they can. David said he kept his body under subjection, lest at any time after he had preached to others, he himself should become a what? A castaway. Was David concerned about him becoming a castaway and no longer, as long as he lived, being able to have any fellowship with God? Was that his burden at this time? I believe that it was. So he says in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Had David lost his salvation? Certainly not. But had David lost the joy of God's salvation? Yes, he had lost the joy. What was wrong with his soul? His soul was like a valley of dry bones. And what was the only thing that could help David at this point in time? It would be for God to begin to speak to those bones and bring them together, to heal those broken bones and to put sinew and muscles on those bones and give him strength and to put skin on that body and to breathe in that body into his soul so that he could have life again. That abundant life that God's obedient children can have in the kingdom of God. So he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then here's what he says he'll do. You see, the restoration is not just so you can feel better. This is extremely important. Sometimes we want to feel better in our soul, right? But the restoration of our soul is not just so you can be happy and feel better. He says in verse 13, now here's what I'll do if you'll restore my soul. He says in verse 13, Psalm 51, 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What's he saying he's going to do? "Lord, if you'll just revive me, if you'll heal these broken bones, if you'll lift me up, if you'll raise up my soul, if you'll restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, if you'll give me strength, I'll get out." And he says, "I will work with others, and I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." David was going to use that life for the good of his people, God's people, and to the honor and glory of God. Come down to verse 17. He says, "The sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know what we need? Which is more important, for you to be in God's house or to have a broken and contrite spirit? Which is more important? Okay, both. If you have a broken and contrite spirit, you'll be in God's house. Which is more important, for you to pay your tithes and offerings or to have a broken and contrite spirit? All right, if you have your broken and contrite spirit, you're going to be doing that. But listen, everything else that you do, if you come to God's house, you pay your tithes and offerings, you can read your Bible every day, you can do every other work, you can get out and visit all you want to, but no matter what else you do, if you don't have that broken and contrite spirit, you'll never experience the kind of revival that David did. It is essential that God's people have that broken and contrite spirit. Did Israel, over there in Ezekiel 37, did they have that broken and contrite spirit? Did they fall before the Lord and cry unto the Lord for Him to revive them? They did. And God did revive them. Go with me in closing to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Look at just one verse of Scripture here. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 57, do y'all know where God is tonight? Do you know where God is tonight? Is God in heaven tonight? Is He up there in eternal heaven tonight? Yes, He is. Now, if we were talking about me and you and I said, "Where are you?" you'd say, "Well, we're in church, but you can't be in more places than one at a time." Here's the amazing thing about God. I want you to listen to what God says very carefully here. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, the Word of God says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." Who is that? It's God. God says, "I dwell in the high and holy place." And then He says, "With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Where does God dwell? Well, He dwells up there in eternal heaven, but He also dwells with His people when they have a contrite and humble spirit. And He says, "I dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Can these bones live again? That was the question that God asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live again? Are there times in your life that you think that you've been clean cut off forever and that you'll never again feel the presence and power of God? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Now, brethren, that's as near hell as anything can possibly. In fact, it is hell. When you're cut off from fellowship with God, you're in hell. When your soul is nothing but dry bones, it doesn't matter if you're still going through all the formality of religion. Doesn't matter if you're still going to church. If deep down in your soul you don't feel the presence and the power of God, you need to just stop everything, fall on your face, and beg God to have mercy on your soul and to revive those dry bones that are in your soul and to lift you up and breathe on you so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and live. You hear that last word there? And live. There are a lot of people who die while they yet live. We need to pray, "God, have mercy on us and fill us with the abundant life," is my prayer for Christ's sake.